It's likely that when you hear the title The Lost Weekend, you think of Billy Wilder's classic film from 1945 starring Ray Milland about the struggles of an alcoholic. But what you may not realize is that the film is based on a novel by Charles Jackson, whose personal problems with addiction and homosexuality in post-war America would become the basis for his work in a new biography called Farther and Wilder, The Lost Weekends and Literary Dreams of Charles Jackson. National Book Critics Circle Award winner Blake Bailey chronicles the story of a man whose desire to bring taboo subjects into the popular discourse was far ahead of his time. The book is published by Alfred Knopf, and I'm very pleased that it brings Blake Bailey back to our show. Hello.
Hi, Leonard. Good to be here.
Your previous books have been biographies as well about John Cheever and Richard Yates. Are you specializing in alcoholic writers?
No. As a matter of fact, well, let me revise that. I was, but I'm currently working on a biography of Philip Roth. Mm-hmm. And in fact, Philip, when he first called me, which was a momentous moment in my life, as you can imagine, he told me that, you know, he actually knew Charlie Jackson because he was looking for a job in 1956, just out of the Army, and his brother Sandy worked at J. Walter Thompson, and so did Charlie Jackson, who was washed up by then. And they met, and he told me about that. Then he recalled that I had written The Cheever, and Roth and Cheever were friends, and he knew about Cheever's drinking. And he finally said, do you write about anyone who's not dead or drunk? I said, no, but I hope that you'll be the first.
Well, why choose Charles Jackson? Although he was famous in his lifetime, at least for part of his lifetime, he's pretty much forgotten today. The only thing we remember is the movie.
Right.
The book was a bestseller at the time, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It was a huge seller. It sold 500,000 copies in 5 years.
I bet he had another bestseller near the end of his life.
Yes,
about
he did.
An nymphomaniac.
Well, look, he had a very successful career. What happened was, is I was going to write this little book of profiles about literary failures, forgotten writers, and Charlie was going to be one of those subjects. So I went back to my 1963 Time Reading Program reprint of The Lost Weekend, and I reread the editor's preface, and it sort of framed Jackson's life as a redemptive fable. Jackson was still alive in 1963, and they said Charlie was the model for his famous alcoholic Don Burnham, but he's now sober, he's now chairman of the New Brunswick, New Jersey AA chapter, and he's the doting father of two daughters. And I thought, wow, that's great. You know, this is going to make a good redemptive fable for my little profile that I'll write about him. So I Googled him and saw that he died of an overdose at the Chelsea only 5 years after that vaunted chairmanship of the New Brunswick AA. So I was fascinated by that. Then I found that there were tons of papers.
That he left his wife and family as well?
He had left his doting wife, Rhoda, who loved him unconditionally despite his bisexuality, despite which she knew all about, despite his drug addiction and alcoholism, and his daughters adore him to this day. The more I learned about Charlie Jackson, the more I was convinced of, one, he was a worthy human subject, and two, he was a worthy cultural subject, and I can go on a little bit about that.
Well, the next time you come here to talk about Philip Roth, I'll ask you about specializing in writers who grew up in places called Newark.
Absolutely. Charlie Jackson is from Newark, but not Newark, New Jersey, which, of course, is the famous hometown of Philip Roth. Newark is about 20 miles south of Lake Ontario between Rochester and Syracuse. And it was a poisonously malevolent sort of archetypal Sherwood Anderson-like small-town environment. And let me give you an example of that. When Charlie was 13 years old, his 16-year-old sister Thelma and 4-year-old brother Richard were killed by a train. It was a terrible tragedy.
They were in a car.
They were in a car. Another boy was killed, and the other two were injured. He was in the New York Times. It was a huge calamity for that village. There was about 5,000 people in it. Rather than comfort the family, who was in just absolutely searing grief over this, the rumor was bruited about Newark and for the next 30 years that Thelma had been pregnant at the time of her death, and that God, in his infinite wisdom, had taken her before the disgrace became obvious. Okay, and this rumor, and never mind the ones about Charlie's and his brother Fred's homosexuality. That's another issue. This rumor poisoned Charlie's mother's life.
And he wrote about the town.
Yes.
Weren't his books kept out of local library because of that?
Poor Charlie wanted nothing better than to be loved and accepted by the town where he had grown up as a child, but it was not to be. He wrote a collection of stories called The Sunnier Side about life in Arcadia, and it's kind of a latter-day counterpart to Sherwood Anderson's Winesburg, Ohio. Or if you like, a more literate version of Peyton Place. Mm-hmm. Beneath the serene surface of small town life, all sorts of hellish scandal and unhappiness is percolating.
Should we be reading these stories now? Are they really good?
You absolutely must be reading these stories now, and happily you can do so easily because Vintage, to coincide with my biography, has reissued a paperback reprint of The Lost Weekend,
which I
a
have
masterpiece,
in my hand right now.
And declared as such by The Times when it was first published, and The Sunnier Side, this wonderful book of stories about small-town life at the turn of the century.
Now, he did have a troubled childhood. He not only lost his siblings, his father left shortly after that accident, and then there was the whole matter of the fact that he and his brother were gay men or gay youths. At a time when you really couldn't admit to that.
No, you couldn't admit to that. And nice people did not talk about homosexuality, and nice people did not talk about pedophilia. And one of the stories, which is a landmark story in the Sunnier Side collection, is called Palm Sunday. It was Charlie's first published story. It ran in the Partisan Review in 1939, and it is totally autobiographical. Shortly after Thelma and Richard were hit by the train, the father abandoned the family because he had impregnated a 16-year-old Irish girl. And a few months after that, Charlie, age 14, was molested by the local choir master, a man long dead who I will name as Bert Quantz. And Bert Quantz was notorious in that town. He molested, Charlie later learned that he had plenty of company, but he was never called to task about it because nice people just didn't discuss that sort of thing.
And then Charlie wound up with tuberculosis on top of it all.
You see? It's a great story.
It's
never a dull moment.
So what came first, the alcoholism or the
tuberculosis? What happened was he got a mentor, a man named Bronson Winthrop, who was one of the most powerful Wall Street lawyers in New York. He was the partner of Henry Stimson, who was the Secretary of War in FDR's cabinet. Bronson Winthrop was gay, closeted, of course, older man, very cultured. And he took Charlie under his wing. So when Charlie and Fred got tuberculosis, Bronson was willing to pay for wherever they wanted to go. Well, Charlie's favorite novel was Thomas Mann's Magic Mountain, so he said, I want to go to Davos, Switzerland. So for a couple of years, 3 years for Fred, they stayed at these incredibly luxurious TB sanatoriums in Davos, Switzerland, and Fred, who was gorgeous, became the toast of Europe. And there's a beautiful nude photo of Fred in my book, by the way.
Now, Charles Jackson was 41 when he published The Lost Weekend. So one collection of short stories wasn't a heck of a lot.
Oh, he hadn't published the collection yet. He had only published three short stories before The Lost Weekend was published. But Palm Sunday had been published. It would later be included in The Sunnier Side, which was published in 1950. While he was in Davos, which was a very festive atmosphere, the sort of let's be merry for tomorrow we die because everyone has TB, right? There's a lot of sex and there's a lot of drinking. And Charlie discovered he was an alcoholic in Davos.
Was he sober when he wrote The Lost Weekend?
He was. And that's the reason that The Lost Weekend is so far superior to anything else he ever wrote, because everything else he ever wrote was written under the influence of tranquilizers. But he was completely sober at the time he wrote The Lost Weekend.
Was he happy with the film?
He was...
It's now considered one of the great films.
Yeah, it later turned out to sort of haunt him in many ways. He was over the moon about the film. Charlie went to Hollywood in 1944 because he'd signed an MGM screenwriting contract. He's the most popular man in town because That's the addiction capital of the Western world. And all these alcoholics were just shocked that this author of an obviously autobiographical book was A, sober, and B, the nicest guy they had ever met in their life.
He became friends with the Gershwins.
He and Judy Garland were perceived to be an item. Spencer Tracy followed him around with dog-like devotion because everyone thought he had the secret to getting sober. Benchley came up to Robert Benchley, the Algonquin wit, came up to him and said, you know, your book terrified me so badly that for 20 minutes I couldn't take another drink.
And he wound up coaching Ray Milland on how to act as an alcoholic. But then he left his family, moved to the Chelsea Hotel, and lived as an openly gay man. Did he blame his homosexuality on the alcohol, on his mother, as was the, kind of like the fad at that time?
Yes, he had a lot of faddish ideas about what had caused his alcoholism and his homosexuality. In the Freudian ethos of that time, homosexuality was regarded almost as a concomitant of alcoholism or vice versa, but I won't get into all that.
And being too close to your mother.
And being close, having an overprotective mother, and Charlie consummately had that. But I want to say that none of Charlie's more half-baked notions about theoretical notions about his homosexuality made its way into The Lost Weekend, which is what makes that book so great.
Now, he died of a suicidal drug overdose. He had had a bestseller just a year before. Wasn't he making some kind of comeback?
Well, here's what happened. For years, he had been sober. In the 50s and 60s, he became a celebrated spokesman for AA for his family's sake, because he was a family man. He was a good husband. He was a good father. But finally, he decided, if I can't write, I might as well be dead. But he couldn't write without taking the pills. So Rhoda wasn't having that, the addiction anymore. So he moved into the Chelsea. He started taking pills again. He finished his novel, A Secondhand Life, about an infomaniac. It made the New York Times bestseller list. And the following year, 1968, he was working on his masterpiece, his big Don Burnham saga. It was going to be this multi-volume Proustian masterpiece. And he died of an overdose.
Now, do you see reading his work as having a lasting impact on American fiction? Does it give us any insight into the life of a closeted gay man?
Absolutely. He wrote the first mainstream American novel about homosexuality called The Fall of Valor. The Lost Weekend not only is a masterpiece in literary terms, but it had enormous impact on how alcoholism is perceived in this country. It was regarded as a moral failing.
But he wasn't ahead of Gore Vidal in writing about it.
Oh, he was. The City and the Pillar was 1948. Fall of Valor was 1946.
Blake Bailey will be giving a reading and signing books tonight at 6:30 at the Riverview Restaurant in Hastings on Hudson. How far is that from Newark?
I think it's about 30 minutes by train.
That's at 1 Warburton Avenue. The book, Father and Wilder, The Lost Weekends. Wilder, was there a pun there?
No, it's from the Thomas Mann epigraph to the book. But can I point out that D.T. Max, the David Foster Wallace biographer, and I are going to be at the Strand tomorrow night at 7.
Okay. Well, Farther and Wilder, The Lost Weekends and Literary Dreams of Charles Jackson is published by Knopf. My great thanks to Blake Bailey for being on our show again.
Thanks for having me, Leonard.